Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, hosted by Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Welcome all to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. So glad to have with me here in studio my partner in crime, Amanda Harrison. Amanda, another great story of impact and leadership all the way from Ohio. Tell us about that conversation.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, it is amazing how many cool people we get to speak with as part of this podcast. So I'm excited to tell you guys about Gary Thompson. He's the Executive Vice President at the Regional Growth Partnership, also known as RGP. And Tim, you're right. He is from the Ohio region. He joined his organization in 2011, and previously he headed up the Oregon Economic Development Foundation. He also is the director of the Northwest Ohio region for Jobs Ohio. So he's doing some great things in the field of economic development, and he brings really great insight and relevant conversation about the field that we are breaking down today. So sit back and hear what Gary has to share. Hi, Gary. Thanks so much for joining us today on From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, and welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm humbled and honored to be part of such a distinguished group of economic developers across the country.
Well, we're excited to speak with you today and get to know you and hear about your journey and your career and what brought you into this group of top 50 economic developers. So to get started, Gary, what's one thing everyone should know about you?
Well, one thing everybody should know about me is that I'm a certified public accountant in the state of Ohio. I served time in public accounting. And I ask folks often to not hold that against me because I have a failed personality. Maybe that's the reason I'm no longer in the accounting field. But most people are very surprised to find out that I'm a licensed CPA.
Excellent. Well, how did you go from being a licensed CPA to your current career of economic development? Take us on that path.
Well, I can tell you that story pretty briefly because I figured out when I was practicing accounting that accounting was part of general and administrative expenses, which is at the back or the bottom of the income statement. And you realize, you know, it's hard to grow your salary, your earning potential, and other things in your career because you're kind of just considered a support staff in any organization as an accountant. And at the top of that income statement is usually an item called revenue or sales. And I knew some folks that were involved in sales, and they seemed to have new cars and new boats and other things. So I was motivated, I think, by money and wealth, and I found myself in a sales job at a large architectural engineering firm in Toledo, Ohio, and did very well at that firm. Took that firm into some new ventures in the higher education arena. Out of that firm, I was recruited to a firm in Farmington Hills, Michigan that was a small architectural and engineering firm in the Detroit market. So it was a totally different experience going from a large firm to a small firm and going from Toledo to Detroit. And that experience, along these paths, I met a gentleman by the name of Dean Monsky, who worked for a public utility when I first met him. And he ended up working at a local economic development office. He was moving on at one point in his career to take an assistant job at the Regional Growth Partnership where we are today. And he just asked me, hey, do you think you would do well in this local community doing economic development? I happened to live in that local community, and I said, yeah, that would be great. So one thing led to another, and I ended up being the local economic development director there for about 5 years. And I found understanding balance sheets and income statements from accounting and understanding how to put a project together from the world of architectural and engineering was really the function of economic development.
Yeah.
So it worked out very well. One stone kind of led to another, and Dean Monsky, I kind of followed his path as well. He became the assistant mayor of the city of Toledo and then came back to be the CEO at the Regional Growth Partnership. I was one of the first folks he asked to join the team, coming from my local community, and I was happy to do so. It's about the skills and the network, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's a great look at your career and your journey. And you're right, kind of all those pieces do end up fitting together very nicely for your role in economic development today. I would love to know, Gary, how do you define success for yourself as a leader?
Well, I define success for myself as a leader really through my team's performance. And I do that, I think, two ways. One, you know, are we meeting the metrics that we set out or the goals that we set out for ourselves? So maybe that's the accounting side of me, just the raw data. Are we providing opportunities for our regional economy to grow? Are we helping existing businesses grow? Are we making the number of retention calls we said we would? Are we making new friends and new industries to help diversify our local economy? And we just kind of look at those numbers quarterly, and yeah, we're doing that as a team. So, you know, we're doing pretty well. And then secondly, and maybe more importantly in economic development, I look at the relationships that I have with my team and my team members and the relationships that we all have with our business and economic development partners. And are those relationships of high quality? Do they run deep? We believe this is a people business and a full contact sport. So, you know, if those relationships are built on the right foundations, economic development activity will often follow. So if we're doing those two things, I think we're being pretty successful.
Yeah, I love that you said full contact sport. That's a fun way of looking at it. And you're right, relationships are absolutely key in this industry. We keep hearing that time and time again from those of you who have been named to that top 50 list. So we know it must be important. You talked a little bit about your team and you talked a little bit about success. What things are keeping you awake at night? What things are on your mind that are maybe worrying you a bit about this industry or your community or organization?
Well, I think there are two things that keep me up at night. And the first one, in many ways, is totally out of my control. Maybe that's why it keeps me up at night. But I worry about kind of the global hotspots around the world and the impact that those can have on our local economy, since we are a global economy these days. So, for example, you think about, you know, rebel activities in Russia and what might be occurring there between the Russian and European borders. And when you're sitting in Toledo, Ohio, you think, well, that's so far away. Well, a lot of that battle's over oil. And here in Northwest Ohio, we have three refineries. We have one in Toledo, one in Oregon, Ohio, one in Lima, Ohio. And we're also home to the headquarters of Marathon Petroleum in Findlay, Ohio. So most people think of the energy business revolves around Houston, Texas, here in the United States. Well, there's a big chunk of it that revolves around Northwest Ohio. And when those battles for oil and the price of oil and all those global economic indicators, those mean jobs, job creation, job loss, all that comes home to roost here in Northwest Ohio. So I worry about those kinds of things and their impacts on the local economy and people's ability to feed their families and put their kids through college. And I also worry, secondly, about just workforce development issues. I think the focus today is on training programs and getting the right people and getting them the right skill set. And I think many communities, even here in Northwest Ohio and other places around the world, are doing a pretty good job of addressing that need, certainly in the short term, and they're putting programs in place to address the long term. I worry a little bit more about just the shortage of general human bodies as we look 20, 25, 30 years out. You know, I don't think we can replace the workforce that we have. There simply aren't enough people. So that may have some effects on immigration policy or, you know, reproductive policy, or it may drive more robotics and automation into manufacturing, and all of those things would have large impacts on the infrastructure that we have available to help our economy grow. So those are the two things I think on my mind that really keep me up at night.
Yeah, and those are both big things, right? I can see why they keep you awake, and it's not always easy to think about what's the solution for those things and how much control. Like you said, you might not even have control over some of those things happening globally. So that's a good perspective and a good global view of the industry and how it all is intertwined and affects each other. I would love to know a little bit about your leadership style. So is there a leadership lesson that you've experienced that you think everybody could learn from?
Well, I think there is. You know, my wife is a school teacher, and she can probably articulate this actually a little better than myself. But I heard her saying this one day, and I thought that's a really great message for leaders and for the business world. And I would say it this way, that individual teams and communities, they often fail. In today's kind of no-risk world environment, and hey, you have to do everything right the first time, in this world of quality control, no errors, no defects, just-in-time inventory, we don't have a lot of room for failure in the business world. And if somebody fails, we often throw that person, that individual, that team or community under the bus, Others may take the low road, as I call it, and point fingers and blame someone, when in fact, that failure is probably the greatest learning experience that anyone can have, whether that's an organization, a community, or a person. If Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Edison had that attitude, we'd be in a totally different world.
Right.
So my wife says that it's okay to fail. I don't like to say that it's okay to fail, but I say you have to accept failure, but you understand how to learn from it, how to be better from it, and you're better off to use that failure to bring a team or a community together instead of using it as a wedge to try and divide people and root out someone who, for one reason or another, you could identify as, well, that's the reason why we failed. Because, frankly, next week, it could be my lack of experience or some other valuable team member's lack of information that caused somebody to fail on something. And I don't think we should just get in the business of just wholesaling people, kicking people to the curb because we have a little failure here and there.
Absolutely. Spoken like a true leader. That's great perspective for our listeners today. Gary, we have time for one last question. So as you look ahead to the future and you're thinking about your planning for next year, you're planning for 5 years out, what do you think is the most important thing for communities and economic developers like yourself to focus on?
Well, I think there's two things, and they're not going to surprise you that they're kind of fundamental to the business. One is I think communities need a vision. And I think that needs to be a shared vision. Another way to say that would be they need to know their target. So are you a community that is a bedroom community and you want to attract retail and restaurants? Are you a community that really likes manufacturing? Are you a community that, hey, we are the best situated in North America for anything automotive, whatever that case may be? Or do you want to create and diversify your economy and find a target that isn't there and find a way to attract them? I think everybody needs to be focused on that vision and agree to some extent. You know, the more in alignment you can be, the better off you'll be. And if you can get that piece down, then the next piece is really to focus on being ready for those opportunities, to have demonstrated workforce capabilities, to have sites ready to go, to have existing buildings that allow people to make investment, make sure your higher education institutions are aligned with that mission and that your community leaders support it and that you're ready to help people make investment in your community. I think if you could do those two things, you're going to be a lot more successful than anybody else on the globe.
Excellent. Well, Gary, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your insight and your expertise on this industry. And again, we just want to congratulate you on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Well, Amanda, thank you. And again, all the best of luck to Consultant Connect and all the things that we're doing together. The list of conferences and the connections that you're helping people make in the industry are much appreciated. So we wish you the best of luck with your continued work as well.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.